Let's turn in our Bibles now to Luke chapter 17 as we move on to the next miracle that we find here in the Gospels in chronological order. We still have a few more to go. We've been at this for a while. I've lost track. But all I know is we keep going to the next one. And here in Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 11, down to verse 19 is my text, Luke 17, 11 to 19. And this has to do with the cleansing of 10 lepers. The cleansing of 10 lepers. It says here in verse 11, and it came to pass, there's that expression again, it's not just happened to be, but it came to pass as God the Father ordained, because everything Christ did was according to what his Father gave him to do. That as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Cry for mercy. And when he saw them, another way of reading that would be, and he seen them. It's like we've seen in other portions. It's the look from the Lord where there's help and hope. When he saw them, he said unto them, so not only the look, but the word spoken, go show yourselves unto the priests. So at the time that they cried out, it wasn't that he healed them based on their cry. He said, go show yourselves unto the priests. There's a scriptural reason for that. But even that would have taken an act of faith, because in the Old Testament, the only time you went to see the priest is if you were cleansed, you were healed. Can you imagine them thinking, he's told us to go to the priest, and they're looking at their skin and the leprosy's still there. How's this going to work out? But there it is in verse 14. And it came to pass. There it is again. I love that. It came to pass. What? That as they went, this is an important word that we see here that's going to affect how we understand these lepers. Because it doesn't say, the word that's used there doesn't say that they were healed. It says they were what? Cleansed. That's talking about something more than just physical healing. Now here's the surprise of the story as we go forward. Because those of us that know this story, we remember that of the 10, only one came back. And so what's our thinking about that other 9? Well, they must not have been the Lord's. They must have been just going through the motion. And yet, what I read here, the same word is used on every one of them. The 9 that didn't come back and the 1 that did. That did not change Christ's favor toward them. That's what I want us to see in this message, because we're so conditional. We're conditionalists. Oh, well, they didn't come back. But that doesn't mean they weren't any less the Lord's. See, it's not how our eyes are on Christ, it's how his eyes are on us. And aren't we as sheep prone to wander? Do you really want your salvation depend upon how you respond to the Lord or what you think or do? If that were the case, then there wouldn't be any salvation. And that's what I see in this story of these, the cleansing of the 10 lepers. They were all cleansed. The Lord saw them together, spoke to them together. And there in verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And here again is an important part of this story. It says, and he was a Samaritan. The reason why the Lord purposed to make an example of this one was because of the hatred that the Jews had for Samaritans. And yet, in this group, nine of them likely were Jews, smitten with leprosy, and one of them was a Samaritan. And yet none of that made any difference before the Lord. They all needed the Lord. They all needed his word. They all needed his cleansing. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Again, that's an important word. It doesn't mean, were there not 10 healed? No, cleansed. But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. Why was the Lord saying that? Well, there were some Jews around looking. But in essence, none were cleansed based on merit, but by the grace of God. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And there, when he said, thy faith hath made thee whole, he who is thy faith, the object of true faith, that is Christ himself. So this is the story here. And first of all, I want us to consider what leprosy represents in Scripture. Here it says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. This was not unusual for lepers to congregate with one another because they were offcast already because of their leprosy. And so they couldn't seek company from anybody but lepers. And so it says they stood afar off. Why did they stand afar off? Well, the law required. It was forbidden by the law and, of course, the custom to come near to any for fear of being infected by them. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 13, in verse 46. So here's a picture of these 10 that the law could not help them. A lot of people think there's salvation in the law. It isn't. All it can do is condemn. It couldn't heal them. Leviticus 13 and verse 46, this whole chapter is about different types of leprosy. And biblical leprosy included a variety of skin diseases. It could have been something as simple as ringworm or psoriasis or some other disease of the skin. Some were highly contagious, others less so. Some were curable, some weren't. This here seemed to be one that wasn't, and that was infectious. That's why they stood afar off. You see how it's a picture of sin, the corruption of sin, who we are. But the law required they be separated out. In Luke 13 and verse 46, it says, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. So it's a serious matter. You know, when leprosy appears on the skin, people see it and they're fearful because they know the devastating effects of it. But sadly, with regard to the sinfulness of sin, men are blind. They don't see their own sinfulness before God to the same degree. Many can live with themselves, even in a fallen, sinful nature, and still not be troubled in their souls and their spirits by it, because it's not something visible that they can see as would be leprosy. But nonetheless, leprosy was an infectious disease, and it infected the entire person to where even a few spots, even though it may not have been over the entire body, yet the infected person was required to shout unclean, unclean when approached by a healthy person if they couldn't see it. And so many took this to be a sign of God's judgment on them. But the Lord purposed leprosy back in the day for some, just to show their need of cleansing. And that it was the priests, when you come back here to Luke 17, it was the priests, based on the law, that were first of all to determine that indeed it was a leprosy, and then separated out if there was any healing, then it was also the priest that was to pronounce the leper to be healed. You can see how these priests were a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. They, apart from his intervention, had to remain at a distance according to the law. But when Christ was approaching here in verse 13, they saw him. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This is the same cry as the publican in the temple. "Have mercy on me, the sinner." And even the Pharisees looked down upon him with disdain because they didn't see themselves as being leprous. But certainly they saw that publican as being leprous in the sense of being a sinner. That's why the Pharisee prayed within himself. He wasn't praying it to God. He said within himself, he thanked God that he wasn't like this other. And such would be our case as we're born in this world. We're born sinners. We're born corrupt, diseased because of who we are in Adam. And that we have no right even to approach unto God or to be a part of the fellowship of his people in our sinfulness apart from the mediator. And that's why I mentioned when I was reading a little while ago in verse 14, when he saw them and said unto them, had the Lord not seen us, there would be no hope. Had he not spoken the word to draw us to himself, there would be no hope. That's why he came into this world. He didn't come to save the righteous, call the righteous to repentance, but what? Sinners, the sick. He said that those that are well or see themselves as well, they don't need a physician, but those that are sick. And that's why Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So that moves us now to the second point that I want to bring out in this message. We've seen what leprosy represents in a small way. We could spend an entire message on that. But how the Lord Jesus dealt with these 10 lepers. When he told them to go and show themselves to the priests, it's not that these priests could do anything that Christ couldn't, but they were the representatives. These were the ones that represented the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though they themselves, the priests, denied him. But Christ came to fulfill the law, not to set it aside. And so what he is prescribing here to these lepers is exactly what the law prescribed. They were outside the camp. And the only way that they could be let in again would be through these priests that would pronounce them to be cleansed. But those priests couldn't cleanse them. It's obvious. These lepers had been around for a while and the priests could do nothing for them. But when the Lord Jesus Christ approached them, that's where we see that as they were going, as they went, it says, verse 14, they were cleansed. Who cleansed them? The true priest. And so by going to these priests of theirs, all it was a fulfillment of law, that they should present themselves and the priest look and say, yes, you're made whole. They had great power as priests to pronounce certain ones clean and unclean, but they had no power in themselves. And this is where people get it wrong today, looking to a preacher or a pastor or a priest or whatever, thinking that somehow there's power to give them life. It's not. The life is in Christ. And any that truly represent the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to give him the glory. But for these now to present themselves so that according to the law, they would be declared clean. We know that this Samaritan, it's obvious, he knew that this wasn't just a natural act that had taken place, because it says it happened as they went. Notice, they were cleaned. There was no distinction made between any of them. That's why I truly believe that every one of these was the Lord's, that he came to deliver. Not all of them responded in the way that we would think they should have, but here again, I would caution any one of us. For all that the Lord has done in our lives for us, can we truly say that in all things, in every way, we've given God the glory? And we've been brought back to bow at his feet. Even when the Lord, by his mercies, answers prayer, what do? We go right on with our lives without ever stopping to pause or think. The Lord was just merciful to me in that very thing. I wouldn't want my justification before God to be based upon my heart or my faith or my gratitude, because I dare say if it were, think about all the faithless days that we have had. In many ways, how we've acted is no different than somebody out there that's an unbeliever and never heard of Christ. We fear, we tremble, even though we know all things are of the Lord. And so, even here, I know commentators, and I would say even ourselves, as we've read this story, that's our first thought. Oh, those nine, they're condemned. All the Lord did was heal them physically, but they didn't come back, so they must not have been the Lord's. We don't know that. All I have to go by here is what the Word says, and what I read in the Word is that the Lord cleansed all of them. But this one Samaritan, see, there are times when the Lord will so clearly show us in our hearts and minds just how undeserving we are as sinners. In fact, you remember that woman that came into our Lord when he was eating in the Pharisee's house, and she didn't cease to wipe our Lord's feet with her hair and her tears. And they condemned her. They were treating her like a leprous woman. But the Lord said, to whom much is forgiven, one who's forgiven much loves much. And I believe that's the case with this Samaritan. Think about it. He was an outcast, not only because he was a leper, but he was an outcast because he was a Samaritan. And yet the Lord was pleased to be merciful to him, and he knew it. he understood that what the Lord had done here had been a true grace. And that's why it says one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Why was he crying with a loud voice? Well, that was the Spirit of Christ in him. Again, the scriptures are silent about the other nine. We can suppose that they probably hurried home. Tell their loved ones, look, ran into this man, Jesus of Nazareth, and we've been cleansed, we've been healed. But this one, the Lord purposed, should come back, and that's for our benefit. The Lord knows his sheep. He knows their weaknesses. He knows their failings. We're not his sheep because we live right and do right, say right and be right. No. So are we to conclude that because these other nine didn't return at this particular time, as did the Samaritan, that for that reason somehow they were then disqualified from the grace of God? See, that's conditional thinking. You know, there's another story I think we get wrong, just like this one here. We automatically conclude those nine, they weren't the Lord's. But there's another story of the prodigal son that's given here in Luke 15 that I'd have you to look at. I'm not going to go down through the entire thing. But in this story, when the prodigal son came home and saw how the father had killed the fatted calf for that prodigal son, and there was music and dancing, that he was angry. You see that in verse 28 of Luke 15. And would not go in. But here's the part I want you to see. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. We've always understood that the elder son wasn't one of the fathers. That it was the prodigal son that was. No, they were both the fathers. Otherwise, the father would not have even gone out and entreated him. The father never entreats a sinner to draw a sinner, but what that sinner belongs unto him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed. I ate at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. That was an attitude problem. That's why we need repentance. It's an adjustment, an attitude adjustment. But here's what I want you to see about that elder son in verse 31. He said unto him, what? Son. He was no less the son of the father because of his attitude. As in the 10 lepers, those nine that did not come back and express it openly, as did the Samaritan, doesn't mean they were any less the Lord's, because the Lord manifests the same mercy unto them as he did unto the one that came back. Let's be careful of conditionalism in our thinking. Well, this one truly must be one of the Lord's, because look how they're praising the Lord. Where this one sits over here, maybe a little quieter, not as expressive, and yet in silence, in the heart, is giving praise to the Lord. Here, even though this elder son had this poor attitude, yet the father didn't give up on him, just like he didn't give up on the son that had gone out and wasted his substance. They were both his sons. Otherwise, why would he call him son? And notice, thou art with me, thou art ever with me. He's not speaking that to one that wasn't his. And what did he say? All that I have is thine, just like the prodigal son. leaders. Nobody can say, well, I have more favor before God because I've stuck with him versus this one that went out in the world and lived a wild life. No, we're all sinners by nature. And so he says it was meet that we, and there he includes that elder son, that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. That's the testimony of anybody. Just like these 10 lepers, they all had the same disease, didn't they? They all needed the same remedy, didn't they? And they all received the same blessing, whether they came back and expressed it or not. We're not 10 cleansed, is what the Lord said there in verse 17. So he himself is acknowledging. And there's that word again, the cleansing has to do with a thorough, through and through cleansing, not just an outward physical healing. Were there not 10 cleansed? So the Lord himself is even acknowledging that they were his. But where are the 9? He's not saying that to expose them or to make this one feel any more special because he did come back. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And that's where we tend to draw the line and say, see, they didn't return to give glory to God save this stranger, so they must not have been truly delivered. Well, they were delivered. And I truly believe they would have been ones that would have seen the Lord Jesus Christ die on that cross, because this was taking place here as they came to pass and went to Jerusalem. This was the exact place where Christ would be lifted up. But I ask you, is Christ lifted up for people that acknowledge him and own him and see him and receive him, like you hear all these words? No, he's lifted up for rebels, for sinners, and that their salvation is not in their doing, but it is in the doing of the Savior. And that's why the Lord said to him, this was a special blessing whereby the Lord drew him back, I believe, for our benefit, to see that if there's any praise or any glory, that we, yes, as strangers, that's who we are, nothing but strangers, no better than this Samaritan, that our eyes be on Christ alone. And that's why the Lord said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. When he said arise, that's because in verse 16 it says that he fell down on his face at his feet. That's the position of any sinner that the Lord has taught, for sure, but it's not always our position. The Lord blesses us many times with mercies that it's not until after the fact that we bow before him and acknowledge him for what he has done. It's not a condition to the Lord having delivered him, but it was the Lord. He was so moved that as he lay at Christ's feet upon his face, adoring and worshiping him, he didn't even attempt to arise until the Lord said, arise, and then go thy way. Go to your own country, go to your town, go to your city, go to your friends and relations, and about your business. He didn't even send him off with any kind of conditions to make sure that you don't get this leprosy again. Nope. That's what the deliverance of the Lord. There's liberty with the Lord. Stand fast in that liberty whereby Christ hath made you free. And what says there, thy faith hath made thee whole, that word actually means has saved you. And that's why I say this cleansing, this making whole, was not just a physical outward deliverance, but a true deliverance of the soul. But when he says thy faith hath made thee whole, he's not talking about somehow this man's faith. He who is thy faith hath made thee whole. Faith has an object, and that object is always the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told by Luke there in verse 14 that all 10 lepers were made clean. So when the Lord drew the Samaritan back, it was that we might see just how even those other 9 would have been made clean. It was by that one who was the object of their faith, because they were all given that cry as the Lord approached them. What did they say in verse 13? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's who the Lord came to save, needy sinners. And those he saves, it's always on the same basis. It's his mercy, for his mercy's sake. And as I said, I believe these are ones that would then soon see our Lord Jesus Christ lay down his life, whereby true forgiveness and cleansing and justification would have been accomplished in his death, as it is with us. I hope that's helpful. It sure keeps us from looking around and seeing what men are doing or saying, or how closely they're following the Lord or not. I suppose if we traced our own following of Christ on a graph, there would be times where it would appear to be closer, sometimes further away. But Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and what they follow me." He continues to lead them and direct them. Such a great Savior he is.